If you have your Bible with you, please go to Matthew 5, and we're going to look at some scriptures there today. We kicked off our series called Higher Grounds. And the verse that kicked it off for me is Matthew 5, verse 20, and it says this: "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So what Jesus is saying, if we can open up this verse, is he says that there are Pharisees and teachers that talks a good game, but when you look at their lifestyle, it doesn't reflect what they're saying. And Jesus is saying that the way that you and I live, the way that you and I do business, the way that you father your kids, the way that you mother your kids, the way that you and I act should surpass the way that they're talking. And that puts me and you on a higher ground. That puts me and you in a different place. He says, when you and I act on this, when you and I live out these values, when you and I not just talk about it, but when people look at you, they see the fruit in your life. He says, you are walking in God's kingdom, a higher ground. And that's the basis of the next couple of weeks coming up. And we have different people going to share some of these character traits that you and I need to put into our lives that we can walk on the narrow road. And I just trust that this morning you can even just take something out of this to say, Lord, teach me and show me to live the higher ground. Not just talk about it like the Pharisees, but live it out. There's so many people that talks a good game. But I want to tell you what, I want to look over your shoulder and I want to see the fruit in your life. I want to look at your kids and I want to see the fruit in their life. I know they're teenagers and they get naughty, I get that. But there's a certain thing in our lives that when you and I sow, God comes and he grows it. Okay, so I want to look into our lives and I want to say, Lord, where's that fruit? That you and I don't just give lip service. It's probably the worst. Now, I've quoted this. I actually heard it on a song, but it's a quote that says, the greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians. That says one thing with their mouths and they live a different life. I want to tell you what, Hope City, we will break that. Because what we say, we will live. And what we live, we will talk about. Because what the heart is full of, the mouth overflows. Friends, it's like toothpaste. When you squeeze it, condensed milk doesn't come out. Unless it's a dirty container. Okay, for the older people like me, we know what dirty is. But I want to tell you what, when that pressure comes and it squeezes us, what comes out of our mouths? I trust that it will be the Holy Spirit. I trust it will be the scripture that you and I took this morning and we read about. I trust it will be that. I promise you, and I joke about it, but this week I had to drive around a bit, take my kids here and take them there. The roads are becoming a hazardous place. It's really becoming like a, I must use careful words here. It's becoming difficult. A robot is not a robot anymore. It's like a suggestion. It's like you get to a green light. That doesn't mean go anymore. That means actually make sure. And it angers me that people live this unrighteous life even with robots. I know it's very stupid. But you know what? When you and I live according to God's standard, he says you obey the law of the land. Because if we break one little law, how many other things can we say? Ah, it's an orange light. Let's just go over this. And I tell you what, there's a thing in our country that we just take and do what we want to do. We need to come back and say, Lord, what are you saying? Where you want me to operate in, live in, and do? Because we need to live on a higher ground, friends. And I'm not saying higher ground, we are better than them. That's not it. It's just to say, remember the example of the 10-lane highway and the narrow road. You and I are operating and we are living and we're doing on this narrow road. Narrow road also doesn't mean an easy road. Jesus says, remember, everything they've done to me, they're going to do it to you, but I have overcome this world. And when you and I operate here, we sing about this. I don't know about you, but when I sing about Jesus this morning, he's not a fat Buddha statue in my living room. He's a living God inside of me. That when I leave here today and I go home, when I climb in my car, when I do business, he is with me. He's inside of me. never leaving me, never forsaking me. That gives me hope, friends. Because sometimes it's difficult walking on this narrow road. Sometimes there's standards and things that I feel, look, I can't do this. I don't know how to operate in this. I'm not sure I can do this. But you're not doing it alone. And please don't do it alone. Operate in the level of saying, Lord, I am just here. You do what you want to do. I want to follow you. The picture I always have is a ski boat. Who have you gone skiing before? Just like it, man. I tell you, I just can't get that right. But that poor boat needs to pull out 120 kgs out the water. So you check that boat go like this. And it tries. The guy that's skiing is not pulling the boat. The boat is pulling the guy at the back. But so many times we are there and we just want to dictate to God what you must do for us. Friends, he's that skiing boat. He's going. And he wants to go where he's going. You and I just got to hold on. Say, Lord, I'm just holding on. Now, I know I've tried a couple of times. And when you come out your skis, you're still holding on. And it's just through that water. And whatever you do, you're just holding to that rope. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's not fun. But I want to tell you what. Don't you try and pull God and say, Lord, come and bless what I want. Come and bless what I think. It's other way around. Lord, what are you doing? I want to be part of that. Where are you going? I want to do that. God operates on this narrow road. Operate in that road, friends. Enter into that kingdom. We were talking about three examples: the two gates, the two prophets, and the two foundations. Matthew 7:14 is talking about that we enter into this narrow gate through Jesus Christ. He is our passport. He is the one that helps us enter into this narrow gate, onto this narrow path. And that is a new dimension. Remember, I used the example of the Chronicles of Narnia. If you've ever watched that movie, because I've never read those books, they're that fat, it will intimidate me. They go into that wardrobe and they open the doors and they go into a brand new world. Friends, when you and I enter onto this narrow road, you go into a brand new dimension, a new world. And that's where God says, this is where I want you to live. This is where I want you to move and have your ways. It's over here. So we go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And sometimes our hearts need to shift. And what we're talking about over these next couple of weeks is shifts in our hearts. That Lord say, do these things. Obey these things. Look at these things. We started the series. We said it's not just another set of rules that we add. It's aligning ourselves with God's kingdom. You see, the problem is a lot of people add Jesus to their lives. And we think when we say yes to him, he is a magic wand. And it's just like hocus pocus, bang, and everything is right. I want to tell you what, you're actually putting a fat target on your life when you say yes to him. And it doesn't become easier, but it becomes lighter. The scripture says, my yoke is easy and light. It's light. It rests on your shoulders, but it's still there. It's still there. We invite Jesus into our lives and we tell him, come and be part of my life. Come and do what I do. Come and do and be busy with what I'm busy. Friends, I don't see that in scriptures. Scripture says that we need to die to self, pick up your cross daily and do what he wants us to do. That's a big difference, hey? We're driving the car, we're opening the passenger door and we say, Jesus, come in, sit. But I'm going where I want to go and you must just come with me. Friends, when you and I say yes to him, you take yourself out that driver's seat, you climb into the passenger seat, you open the driver door and you say, Jesus, you drive. You go. I'm going with you. Now, I've seen this where you sit in those cars that are driving by themselves. I will never do that. I would just want to take that steering wheel because that's what we want to do. But that's the exact picture, friends, is that you and I sit and you just check that steering wheel moving and you're not sure what's going on here. But you trust that God is in control. How many times have we seen our life just spiraling and God says, don't worry, trust me. And when you do that, you look back and you can just say, we serve a good God. We serve a righteous God. Friends, hold on to him. So we're going to read out of Matthew 5, verse 2 to 12. So if you have a phone, a Bible, or whatever with you, quickly open there with me. Matthew 5, verse 12. And he began to teach them, This is not Jesus. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, when the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I quickly want to look at these blessings. I can't go into depth with this. And if you actually look at it, it's a sermon on its own, everyone. So I literally just going to give you a taste of it. And I trust that you can go home and just meditate on these. And again, this is not a tick box list that you go, ooh, meek, I'm okay. Righteous, I'm okay, yeah. Pure in heart, okay, I fail a bit there. Friends, this is not a checklist. This is not, if I do these things, I'm a Christian. It is actually there on this narrow road to say, you and I need to change our character to become more and more like Jesus Christ. More and more like him. Like John says, Lord, help me to decrease so that you can increase more of him. And Jesus says, blessed are those when you have these things in your life, that when you walk on this road, that you understand that there are certain character traits that we need to adapt and change our lives. So that word blessed, we look at it and we think, okay, so when I'm meek, when I've gone through this fire test, at the end of it, I'll be blessed. But that's not what Scripture says. The Greek word, therefore, is makarios. Makarios doesn't mean reward at the end of doing, but it is a state of being happy while you're doing. Okay, so you are blessed while you are meek. You're blessed while you are poor in spirit. So it's not like I need to wait at the end to get this reward. It's while you and I shape our character. It's while you and I try that we are blessed. There is joy in the journey, not just at the end of the journey. Blessed isn't something that you will be after you endure these things. Blessed is something you are while you endure it. Okay. So I want you to understand it, because while you're on this narrow road, sometimes we do think, because remember over here, they look at that narrow road and they go, kill joy, no fun, you're just going to have sorrow, you're just going to look like you suck lemons, you're just going to, that's what's lying ahead for you. But Jesus says, my friend, while you are developing these characters, there will be this joy in your heart. While you're walking this road and you think about this and you meditate on this, there will be joy, there will be happiness, there will be an everlasting joy that is in and part of you while we're operating here. It's amazing that in this passage in verse 2 and at the end, it starts with a kingdom and it ends with a kingdom. It's like the beginning and the end. And while you and I try to figure out our character, God says, but that's what it's all about. It's my kingdom. And in this, that's what it's for me and for you, what I'm trying for us to look at. It is kingdom character. And we're going to start at Matthew 5 verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, God doesn't go to your bank account. Okay, look at your pipe, that slip, and go, this oak is so poor, he can have the whole kingdom. Okay, so this is not the actual looking at your financial state. While a lot of theologians looked at it, because Jesus did speak to farmers and to lower income people at that moment. So it is that, but Jesus is not talking about the state of your wealth. He's saying, I am looking at your heart condition. I'm looking at your life. And when you say, you know what? I'm okay. I can do this. You're not poor in spirit, my friend. You're actually living in pride. And Jesus is saying that when you come to him and you say this, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you every step of the way. Jesus says that you are poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you are like that, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. James 4 verse 6 says, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Poor in spirit is being humble before God and standing back and say, Lord, I know I can do this. I know I've got these talents. I know I've got this gift. But I realize this morning I'm nothing without you. I am nothing without you. That is poor in spirit. Matthew 5 verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, reality is this. Everyone here has probably lost a loved one. Or the reality is we will lose a loved one. And we mourn. But this is not what Jesus was talking about here. Okay. Jesus is saying you mourn when you and I realize of the sin in our lives. When we realize of the sin in Edenvale, when we realize of the sin in your kids' lives, the sin in your workplace. Jesus says, you are blessed when you are crying out for that that is in your life. What does sin do? Sin separates us from God. Look at Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you. Friends, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to be in that place where Jesus hides His face from me. Do you guys remember when Jesus died on the cross? It was the only time He cried out. He says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because Jesus at that moment was covered in our sin. God couldn't look at that. He turned His face away from His own Son because of sin. Remember that, friends. Jesus died on that cross for that, to break that barrier in our lives. I want to tell you what, I want to wake up every morning and I want to make sure that I'm in right standing with God, that He can look at me, that I can see His face, that I can be in His presence. And when you and I have these little foxes in our lives, those little things that we sometimes think, it's not, friends, it's the little foxes that spoils our vineyards. It's those little things that you and I say, oh man, these are little cute ones. That's not so bad. They won't do anything. It snowballs in our lives. And sin, remember, I sometimes think we have this list of categories of sin. You know, murder is right there. That's like right there. But if you do that little thing, it's small. Friends, sin separates us from God. When you have something in your life where you miss the mark, God says He turns His face away from you. Let's get back to that place where you and I mourn if there's anything in our lives that we say, Lord, I cry out before you. I'm so sorry for what I've done. Because scripture is so real. It says, when you and I go and we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, I know there's a lot of theology that says one forgiven, always forgiven. But I tell you what, you know when you mess things up, hey? You know it. Yes, like if you drive in the car and you've got that guilt. You just know that you know. Friends, you don't have to wait for Sunday. You don't have to wait for life group. You don't have to phone Vas and say, Vas, pray for me. I've sinned. Terry, just help me out here. Please, can I come and do a confession and 10 things and we all right. Friends, right there, don't close your eyes while you drive because that might be a bit of a problem. Keep your eyes open. But right there, a second, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I'm so sorry. Friends, and it brings you back and His face shines upon you. We mourn the separation, and not just for us, but for our family, our friends, our colleagues at work. We mourn for them. I look at my own life. I realize my shortcomings that I have, that it separates me from God. Then I surrender to Him. He washes me clean, and now I'm in right standing with Him. Matthew 5 verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is an interesting one, because that word meek, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to do this gym thing. Okay, it's not going well so far. It's horrible. So I'm trying this gym thing out. When you go gym, the last thing I want you to tell me is, DJ, you look so meek. I don't want to hear that. I want my wife to tell me, yes, those biceps are growing, Poppy. You know, those Edenvale guns are growing. That's what I want to hear. Like, yes, Sam, you know, you like this buff monster. That's what I want to hear. Not, you're such a meek little guy. Like, no, I don't want to hear that. Friends, but I think we have the wrong understanding of the word meek. Meek means this: power under control. Power under control. Now, I remember my two girls on here, they had a rough weekend. So they're actually still sleeping. I didn't want to wake those two monsters up. And when they were small, they always wanted to wrestle. So now I'm wrestling these little two-year-old. And I'm wrestling. There's no chance that they're going to beat me. Let's just face it, you know. And then I like fall on the bed and they're on top and they're winning this fight. You know, inside of me, I'm still thinking, I'll crack you, man. I'll show you a thing or two. But it's power under control. I know who I am. I know what I can do. But I'm just standing back and letting them have that joy of beating their dad. Friends, Jesus had exactly this. Matthew 11:29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Look at this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. King James says, I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus himself says, learn from me. I am meek and humble. Friends, if he's my example, I need to change my life. Now, there's two instances I can immediately think. For Jesus, this must have been absolutely something. Remember when he got baptized, he went into the desert and he got tempted by Satan. I tell you what, Jesus showed power under control right there. Power under control right there. The first thing, if that little snake comes and chewed him, Jesus probably just gone, okay, open up heavens, just send three angels, just sort him out. Or Jesus could just step on him, but he never did that. What did Jesus do? He quoted scripture. Power under control. And that was an example for me and you. When you and I face those giants, when you go through things, make sure you've got God's word in your heart. Don't fight him by Shanghai, Karabakh, Suzuki, Honda, and you go boss there and you do all your things. He stood back and he took the word and he came with the word against him. That's why it's so important that you and I need to have God's word in our hearts. And when Jesus was beaten before he went to that cross, I tell you what, power under control right there. I think with that second shot on my back, I would just say, God, take oxygen away. Let this oak fall flat on the earth right there. The rest of them can go blue in their faces. I don't care. He never did that because he knew exactly what he was going to do. I want to tell you that there's going to be times in your workplace, there's going to be times in your family that you have to ask, God, teach me to just be meek. Teach me to just be meek. Power under control. In his kingdom, we have a new identity. And you don't strong arm people into heaven. I don't want people going into heaven because we scared them out of hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want people to go to heaven because they fall in love with Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm here now and I'm facing this Lord and Savior. But actually, I'm here because I was scared of going there. No, I can't wait to close my eyes and open it and see him face to face. That's a big difference. We don't scare people into heaven. We love them into heaven. Meek. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So I had a braai yesterday. It's my past hobby. It's my hobby. I braai. Ek lyk so goed, want ek eet so goed. You know what I do? On a Friday, I take the steak out and I marinate that steak and I put that steak in the fridge. That Saturday morning when I wake up, I start dreaming about that steak because I know what it's going to taste like. I know what that steak is going to be like. I every now and again, I open the fridge and make sure it's not disappeared. You know, it's like it's still in there. I'm excited for this steak, friends. I can't wait for it. Jesus says, hunger and thirst for my righteousness. That is when you and I wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, this morning, show me who you are. This morning when I open your word, reveal yourself to me. That's when you and I get excited about our time with him. When we thirst and hunger for righteousness. Not, I'll just read my verse of the day. There we go. No, my friend, that's not thirst or hunger. That's taking a sip and leaving it there. Jesus says, when you thirst and you hunger, then when I think of that steak, I'm like Pavlov's dogs. My mouth starts watering because I'm like, I know what's coming. Friends, can our quiet time, can our mornings when we worship like this morning, I don't know about you, but there was just such a sweet presence this morning. When we're in his presence, do you go, I can't believe it. Or do you go, Lord, I don't want this to stop. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to experience you more. I want to walk out of here and I want to be changed. I want to be set free. I want to know who you are. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to read your word. Teach me to go into this world and be the light. That is hunger and thirst for righteousness. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, whoever pursues righteousness. Pursues doesn't mean stand still. It means you run after that. Who runs after righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is giving of an undeserved blessing. I'm going to give you a blessing that you do not deserve. It's treating people better than they deserve. I want to ask Hope City, not saying we are, but let's stop judging people. Let's start showing mercy to people. The same way that Jesus shows mercy to me and you. Remember in John 8, verse 1 to 11, the Pharisees bringing a woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus. And they're putting her at Jesus' feet and says, yeah, we caught this woman in adultery. And the law says that if a woman was caught in adultery, what must they do? They must stone her, kill her right there. So they look at Jesus and says, the law says, this is what we need to do. And I love what Jesus did here. He just bends down and he starts like scribbling in the sand. I really want to know what he did there. Because I'm sure he started writing all of their sins in the sand. I'm sure he started writing their whole lives in that sand, what they were busy doing. Because then he says, if none of you have ever sinned, pick up that first stone and throw it. Next minute, boom, gone, papi, they back. Like mist in a nachroki, gone. They're not there. Why? Because they realize their lives are full of sin as well. And verse 10 and 11, Jesus straightened up and asked a woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. Mercy shown to a woman that did not deserve it. Jesus showed her mercy right there. Let's love like Jesus loves us. There's a world that's running on this lane that doesn't know the values and doesn't know the way of the narrow road. Friends, you can't judge them. You can't just throw things at them. Jesus never said put on a cloak of judgment. The only thing he says is put on a garment of praise. Let's remember that. But let's show mercy. Let's show love the way that God loved us. That's the way that you and I will get our friends and our family to Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. People have a struggle, a doubt, or a fear. They will keep it to themselves, and then they will have a moment that they make a promise to God, and they won't do the struggle, they won't do these things anymore. And depending on how good or how strong your discipline levels are, we stand strong. But here's the reality, we fall. And it's so funny that when we're up and we do good, we just feel God's love and we know God loves us. But when we sin and we run away, that's also sometimes people don't come to church anymore. They don't come to their life group. They don't come to youth anymore because now I've sinned. And when you've sinned, you don't feel God's love. Friends, that's the place where you feel God's love actually more. Where sin abounds, grace abounds so much more. It's when you're in that place. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying here, I'm trying to get you out of that circle. I'm trying to show you that your heart needs to be transparent. That's what Jesus is talking here about, a pure heart. Being pure in heart is not being perfect, but being honest. Not being perfect. Don't strive to have this perfect heart the whole time, because you and I won't get it. Okay, because the world throws things at us. But God says, I want you to just be honest. When you've messed things up, don't stand there and go, yeah, Lord, but it was that taxi driver. Yeah, Lord, but it was, you know that wife that you gave me? It was her. Lord, you know that husband that you said I must get married? This die law lace. It's him. My friends, it's when you stand before God with a pure heart and an honest heart and you say, Lord, I'm not sure how to do this. Lord, I'm actually clueless at this moment in my life, but I'm standing in front of you and I know you know. God says that's a pure heart. That is a pure heart. Pure heart is when you and I realize that we can't hide anything from him. Hebrews 4:13, this is a scary scripture. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. I don't know about you, but when I did this, I had to do quickly inspection my life and saying, Lord, you mean everything? Alles, you've seen everything. Yes, I've seen everything, my friend. Jesus knows everything. When you are on your way to tell him about what you've done, Jesus stands there and he goes, oh no, I was there. Think about the worst time in your life, the worst thing that you've done. Jesus was right there. He's seen everything. He knows everything. But he says, pure, blessed are those who stand before him and says, Lord, I've messed that up. Just like David, when he got caught out, didn't kill the priest. Well, he did kill the wife's husband, but he didn't kill her. David immediately went before God and says, Lord, I realize that I'm not in the right place. Pure heart before him. Friends, I want to encourage you, don't run away from him. Let's run to him. Let's run to him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We live in an interesting time, wars and unrest, and people denying God and fighting each other. And Jesus doesn't call us to be peace seekers. God calls us to be peacemakers. Now you can say, I'm never going to be the one that's going to cause peace in Ukraine. God never did that. That's not what he means, be a peacemaker. God puts you in your sphere with your friends, with your colleagues, with your family. And God says, in your sphere where you are, bring my presence in there. And when my presence is in there, we'll bring peace. Friends, be the peacemakers. Be the peacemakers. Jesus is our biggest example again, Colossians 1:20. And through him to reconcile himself, all things, whether things on earth or things on heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He is the ultimate peacemaker. That when he died on that cross, he brought peace into our lives. And he says, go wherever I put you and bring peace into there. Where there's strife, when you walk into the house and there's a bit of ructions. You know when you wake up and there's that thunder cloud, you know, husbands, you know, you don't know what I'm talking about, eh? Don't throw petrol on that fire. Don't go, yeah, wat gaan nou weer met jou aan? You know? Liefie, waar's die kos? No, don't do that. Don't step into that. Bring peace. Be the peacemaker. And friends, sometimes you don't have to say things. You just bring God's presence into that situation. In your workplace, pray for your work. Walk in there, bringing God's presence into your workplace. And then the last one, Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I love this. When I in a place with new people and I go with certain people to this place, I love this question. What do you do for a living? Now, I'm just thinking of an example. We've got this new friend. He's a chiropractor. So this, I can tell the most amazing stories of cracking necks, sorting out shoulders, and doing this. And people will probably go, wow, that's an interesting job. Then they come to DJ. DJ, so what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor of a church. Where's the snacks? Friends, you see that immediately because there's that awkwardness of, and I realize even more and more for you and me to share our faith, sometimes it becomes like a bit of a hostile time. Sometimes it becomes like an awkward time for people where you can see that they just want to get out of the situation. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not saying you and I are getting thrown with stones. I prayed it this morning in our prayer meeting. We have an open heaven in South Africa. We won't stop on our way here, ask where you're going. We still have that. But I don't think it will be for much longer if we carry on like this. But I want to tell you that you are blessed when you can stand in front of someone and you can share the gospel. Friends, when they turn away and they run away from it, just know this, you planted those seeds. And don't ever stop planting those seeds. 1 Peter 4:12, verse 14. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. What a beautiful verse, hey? And I want to encourage all of us, Hope City, let's not stop declaring the good name of Jesus Christ. Let's not stop shouting out the name of Jesus wherever we go. I want to ask the band to come to the front. When we stand back and we look at these two lanes, we see how Jesus is taking the ways of this wide road and he actually turns it upside down. You see, the wide road says the proud, the forceful, the self-sufficient, the aggressive people are the ones who succeed. Jesus goes, the poor in spirit, the meek, the humble, and the clean heart. It's very different, eh? When you and I operate on this lane, God says it's the meek, pure in heart, poor in spirit, that are blessed. And I know sometimes we want to look at it like this and we want to operate in this level in my business as a husband. I want to be strong. I want to do all these things. God says maybe we must just look at our character and say, Lord, teach me to look at the Son and become more like him so I can walk and live in this lane. And that's my encouragement for us this morning, that you and I will walk with a godly character. That people look at us and say, I can see the fruit of Christ in your life. That it won't be just a lip service, but a higher call, a higher standard, a higher ground of saying, Lord, I want to be in right standing with you. I want to live in right standing with you. I want to operate in right standing with you. Please stand with me. I want to read this quickly in the message for us. When Jesus saw the ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed the hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving to a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you is more of God. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you embrace by the one who most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That is the moment you find yourself proud owner of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God, his food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That is when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Can I ask that we just close our eyes?